Are you able to move mountains? The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I am Pastor Schulze. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy sacred word. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we shall go to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and here is another remarkable story that certainly gets our attention. Our text begins with Jesus visiting the temple in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And while he was in the temple, it says he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, says unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, says unto him, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, friends, what we see in this text here is that Jesus, on Monday of the Passion Week, the week of his suffering, his crucifixion, after Palm Sunday, he came to the temple to tell the Jews what they forgot, that the main purpose of the house of God is for prayer. Now I tell you today that if you do not come to the house of God for prayer, you're missing something Jesus has for you. Just as you're missing something that Jesus has for you if you come to the house of God without your tithes and offerings. Or just as you'll be missing something that Jesus has for you if you come to the house of God with a grudge or resentment or criticism towards anybody. Just as you're missing something when you come to the house of God with an ungrateful and grumbling heart or without a testimony. So Jesus said, quote, My house shall be called a house of prayer, and if you do come to the house of God for prayer, you're going to get a blessing, because Jesus said, My house shall be called a house of prayer by all nations. The Jews forgot that, but Jesus didn't. As we go on, let's look at verse 19 of this text. It says, And when evening was come, that is Monday night, Jesus went out of the city. That is to say, he went back to Bethany, a little village nearby, where he spent the night with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And now we come to Tuesday morning of the Passion Week, and that, my friend, gets us to verse 20 of our text. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. What does this all mean? On Monday, Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had leaves but no fruit. It was a pretender. It was a hypocrite. On Tuesday, that same fig tree was dried up to the roots. Oh, can you imagine that the disciples could hardly wait to get out of bed on Tuesday morning to see what happened to that fig tree, which they would see on the way to the temple? They were looking at this tree already from a distance, and they could tell that many leaves had already fallen to the ground, and they were all dry, brown, or had turned yellow. It was, as Jesus said, dried up to the roots. What this all means is that a few days before Jesus would go to the cross as a sacrificial Lamb of God, he pronounced Judaism, which the fig tree here represents as an institution that had stopped bearing fruit. He pronounced Judaism as an institution dead to the roots. Judaism, from its very beginning, had pointed to Jesus. The whole Old Testament is full of Judaism pointing to Jesus. Everything in the Jewish religion pointed to Jesus. But now, my friend, Jesus was here. And Judaism, as an institution, was now dead, no longer necessary. There was no longer a need for the temple, no longer a need for the sheep and goats and oxen to be sacrificed. The blood, the sacrificial blood, now was absolutely worthless. There was no more need for circumcision, no more need for the Levitical priesthood, because Jesus was here. Jesus was here. I'll tell you, when the roots of a plant are dried up, it's over. We have lived in our house now for 30 years, and we have a long, long row of beautiful peonies. They're beautiful flowers, and they stand about a foot or 2 feet tall, and every year, when it comes to the fall, we mow them down. We run our lawnmower right over this long row of beautiful flowers, and they're cut to smithereens. And the house that we stay in is about 130 years old, and most likely these peonies have been cut down for 130 years, 130 times, and have come back up every time again in the spring, being beautiful. Now why? Because the roots have not dried up. The life of these flowers is in the roots, and each year they stubbornly come back. Now let me add a little sideline here that might help you. How many times can you be mowed over and you come back beautifully? How much abuse can you take and come back beautifully, over and over without fail? Can you handle being mowed down once, twice, or 10 times, or 100 times? Now, look at what Jesus said to the fig tree on Monday. He said of the fig tree, because it was not bearing fruit, he said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Now, this does not mean God's done with the Jews. No way. But he's done with Judaism. The Shekinah glory of the Lord had departed from Judaism, from the temple, and was now on Jesus. There are many people who believe that the temple will be rebuilt someday and that sacrifice will be given to the temple once again. But Jesus says here, it's over. It's over forever with the temple institution. He said to this fig tree, my friend, "No man eat of thee hereafter forever." When it's over, it's over. The root system is gone. Yes, again, the Jews will be saved, but Judaism will never be revived. Now then, this is what happened on the way to the house of God. Here Jesus then took the fig tree as an object lesson on prayer. You have to remember that he was just telling his disciples and others about him that the purpose of the house of God was for prayer. So he's expanding on this. Let's go to the next few verses. After the disciples saw the fig tree dried up, Peter says, "Behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." If you have that faith, you can, my friend, dry up a fig tree, or you can say to a mountain, "Be cast into the sea," and it will happen. Now, let me ask you, do you have such faith? Well, if you do, that's immense faith. If you have that kind of faith, my friend, you have faith that has no limits. You're in what Jesus said when he declared, "All things are possible to those who believe." And indeed, you find such faith in the book of Acts with the early apostles. You see them healing the sick. You see them casting out devils. You see them moving mountains. The mountains of sin are being moved. The mountains of carnality. The mountains of selfishness, of pride, of jealousy, of greed, of anger, hatred, adultery are moved out of the hearts of men as you study the book of Acts. These are the mountains Jesus is talking about, not moving 1 million tons of dirt into the ocean. These are spiritual words Jesus speaks, for his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. So right here Jesus is speaking on prayer and on faith, and he gives 2 qualifications for our faith to work. One of them, we must not doubt. And secondly, we must, my friend, when we pray, examine our hearts. So Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. My friend, this tells us that if you have something against anybody, that your faith will not be able to move mountains. Your faith will be diluted, it will be hindered, it will be worthless. Let me go over this again. Jesus said in this context, when you stand praying, my friend, then, my friend, be sure you have forgiven everyone. Do you have a grudge against anybody? I know very, very few people who don't have a grudge against somebody, who don't have a resentment, a criticism of somebody. You're wasting your time of prayer, my friend, trying to move mountains, whether they are mountains in your heart, whether they be mountains of sickness or mountains of material needs. You are wasting your time, my friend, praying and trying to move these mountains if you don't have a clean, pure heart and love towards everybody. Well, I'm on prayer this day. I'm preaching on prayer and on faith. I'm preaching today what makes faith move mountains. So we have one of them. That's our faith has to be without doubt. We have another one of them. Our hearts have to be clear of all grudges, fault findings, and resentments. We have to ask Jesus to forgive us before our faith can even get started. Yet there is a third mountain, or a third request, I should say, a certain necessity for us to move mountains. It is that we must pray in the will of God. You must not pray selfishly for your own glory, but you must pray for the glory of God. Now, in other words, you must put first what Jesus put first, what's first on Jesus' agenda. Why were Jesus' prayers so powerful? Why did Jesus move mountains? Why could he walk on the sea and change water into wine and do those tremendous things by faith, raise the dead? It's because he put the kingdom of God first. That's why I want you to know that the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave us to pray is a prayer, is a call to Christian orthodoxy. It's a call to spiritual sanity. The Lord's Prayer, it's a call to orthodox and spiritual sanity. It tells us what needs to be first, second, third in our lives on our list. And if we don't have that order right, we're not going to have the kind of faith that moves mountains. Oh, we might move some molehills, but I'm talking about mountains. For example, the first petition that Jesus gave us, his primary concern is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you don't have that on the top of your list every day of your life, his kingdom come, his will be done, your faith, no matter how much you try, is not going to move mountains. And this is one of the problems today. We have so many unorthodox ministries that are out of orthodoxy. These are ministries where healing is put above the kingdom come, thy will be done. Or prosperity is put above thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or the gifts of the Spirit are put above thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus wants the first thing that we are to be concerned about every day of our lives to be his kingdom come, his will be done, not our will be done. My friends, if you have these three things, pure faith, a forgiving heart towards all, no grudges or resentments, and if you are praying in the will of God, it is likely that you will be able to move mountains that have been blinding your vision, that have been hindering your spiritual progress for years. So once again, it is over with Judaism, not with the Jews, but with Judaism. Jesus has replaced all that. Number two, prayer to be effectual must be without doubtings. Number three, prayer to be effectual must be without grudges towards anybody. Number four, prayer to be effectual must be in the perfect will of God. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time on this station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until then.